I want to hear somebody tell somebody, I came to take a walk with Jesus. I hope you didn't come here today to hear what Okie has to say. I hope you came here today to hear what Jesus has to say. We have a problem with Christianity in America. We have a problem with Christianity all over the world. Paul had it back in his time. He said to the church of Corinth, he said, hey, you're preaching a different Jesus than the one that I preach. And you're letting them come in and you're letting them fill your ears and you're tolerating it quite nicely. Every now and then, I've told you that my wife is she's a junkie. It's true. She's a television preacher, radio preacher junkie. That's what she is. She listens to every preacher there is on the planet. And I walk through the house sometimes and I'm watching this show's on or this radio broadcaster on, and I'm walking by and I'm only spending 30 seconds as I walk by listening, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, they're preaching a different Jesus than the one I preach. Sometimes I hear some of the biggest nonsense I've ever heard in my life. And I'm like, that's not the Jesus I preach. The purpose of this sermon is to take a walk with Jesus because I want you to know the Jesus that I know. More importantly, I want you to know Jesus for who Jesus is. When we think about Jesus, we all have this idea of who Jesus is, and we fit him into a nice conformity box. And he's who we want him to be. Two 2,000 years ago, they couldn't conform him. What makes you think you can do it today? We're going to take a walk with Jesus. It's going to take a while. Because I intend to go just about everywhere he went. Because through that, I'm going to understand him. So, last week, we started this series, and we talked about Jesus being offensive. Yes? And he was with a group of his followers, thousands of them, his disciples. He had more than 12 disciples. He had the 12, and then he had thousands more, right? Okay. Well, he got real offensive one day, and they all turned around and walked out on him. I hope that never happens to me, but I do realize it's a possibility. I've had 1 or 2 or 10 or 20 walk out on me before. I had a couple walk out on me when they heard the name of the sermon, let alone hear the sermon. They read the title and walked out, and they said, "This is blasphemy," and left. They walked out on him. He told them very simply, "Listen, you're going to have to drink my blood and eat my flesh." And they didn't want to hear that. They didn't understand it. And they didn't want to hear it. And they got offended and they walked out. If you missed last week's sermon, you can catch it on Facebook or on the webpage or get a CD from the back and get caught up. You don't have to miss out. If you miss a sermon here, it's because you chose to, not because we didn't make it available. Amen? Amen? All right. So, I got home and I'm all happy because I'm done with this offensive thing. I've already preached it. I showed you how he was offensive. And uncharacteristically, God had a little talk with me about the previous sermon. Usually he's talking to me about the next sermon. So I was caught a little surprised. He said, "You didn't tell him why I was offensive." I said, "Why?" He said, "Yeah, go tell him why." So today, I'm going to start off by telling you why God or Jesus was so offensive. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you that he was offensive so you would be. We're going to start off in Luke 9, 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I've heard that statement before. I've had people come to me and say, I'm going to be with you for the rest of our lives. We're going to walk this ministry together. I'm never leaving. Why would I leave? This is the greatest place in the world. Some of them still listen, but they're not here. So I get that. That's part of the ministry. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What is he talking about? Remember, I've taught you and taught you and taught you. Jesus is not speaking Hebrew. He's not speaking Greek. He's not speaking English. He's speaking Jesus. And none of us knows that language. He never says what he means, but he means what he says. What is he saying? He says, listen, you better check this out before you run your mouth like that. You see, this is going to be hard. This is no cakewalk. You're going to have to endure hardships that I can't even begin to tell you about. You're going to get offended. You're going to get angry. You're going to get upset. Things aren't going to go the way you want to. You're going to have to do things you don't want to do. Then, hey, what are you asking about? You sure you want to take this walk? He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. You see, there's a problem here. His father's not dead. He's spiritually dead. Let me go bury my father. In other words, I'm going to follow you. You just hang on a minute. Let me raise my kids first. Let me get my parents in the grave. Let me clear my schedule. How many know you cannot clear your schedule? You can't clear your schedule. That's nonsense. But let me go, and then when I get all this done, and Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. And you would look at this at first and think Jesus is being unkind because the man's father had just died and he needs to go bury him. Surely Jesus would allow that. Guy wasn't dead. He was spiritually dead. He said, go let the spiritually dead take care of the spiritually dead. But you go proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. See, today we get to follow God and be with our family. Praise God. Jesus replied, this is the part I want to get to. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You're a little quick on the draw there, quick draw, McGraw. Why was Jesus offensive? Because he knew what was at stake. See, you know what's at stake, but you don't know what's at stake. And of course, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about you. You know eternity's at stake. You know there's heaven, and you know there's hell, and you're on a road, and you've got a fork in the road, and you've got to pick which one you're going to. But you don't really know. You don't really understand because you're so caught up into this world in these 80, 90 years that God may give you on earth, and he may give you 10 or 20. You just don't know. And you understand it because you can feel it and you can touch it and you experience it. But Jesus is being offensive because he knows what's truly at stake. So now if I came to you and I said, Pastor Brett, nothing happened. Oh, there it goes. You have 20 years left to live. And God says to you, Pastor Brett, you have 20 years left to live. And you look at your death, your birth certificate, and it has an expiration date in 20 years. All the confirmations are there. You're pretty sure that we're correct and you have 20 years left. So I say, now, Brett, check this out. You got 20 years left to live, and I'm going to give you a choice. This is going to be up to you. See, I'm going to let you live in this right here. And you don't ever have to do anything. Chill out, take a nap, go fishing, do whatever you want to do. You can live there for the next 20 years. You don't have to do anything. Or, Pastor Brett, you can live there. See, you can live here for the next 20 years, but see, here's the thing, Pastor Brett. I built this house. And I want you to go through and examine it. And when you do, you're going to find the best quality you've ever seen in your life. You're going to find granite on all the countertops. And you're going to find marble on the floors. And you're going to find crystal chandeliers. And you're going to find you're going to find a sauna and a library and a movie theater room. You're going to find that this house is built better than any house you've ever seen in your life. But there's one condition, Pastor Brett. If you want to choose this house, you've got to go tell 300 people that this is the best house you've ever seen and that I built it. Now, Pastor Brett's not always in his sane mind. But if he was, he would say to me, Mr. Contractor, all I got to do is tell 300 people or so that you built this house and it's of high quality, and then I can live here for the rest of my life and never pay anything or do anything. It's just, yeah. I really doubt he's going to choose the shack. Isn't that what Jesus has laid out before you? You can choose hell. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Choose hell. You choose nothing, you'll find hell. You don't have to do anything, and you can spend eternity in hell. It's up to you. Or I have another option for you. You see, I have this for you. I have heaven. But see, if you want to come here, then you've got to accept the gift that I gave you of eternal life. And it would be really nice if you brought somebody with you. You see, if I showed you this and I took you to that property, you would know it was real. You would know without a shadow of a doubt you were going to move into this place and you were going to tell people. You are going to accept the gift of this house and you are going to tell people about this house because it was real and you could touch it. I got something to tell you today. Heaven is real and hell is real. And there are too many Christians on their way to hell. Because they know the stakes, but they don't know the stakes. They think they can get by with these people that are preaching a false Jesus. and they look back. And God said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. If I were God, before you were born, that's why I'm not God. But if I was, some people think that I think that I'm God, but I'm not. I know that I'm not God, because you're still here. Okay. I'm only talking to some of you. I would give you 15 minutes in hell. I would take a tour. We'd take a tour of hell. I'd take you by the hand. We'd spend 15 minutes in hell. Then I'd take you to 15 minutes in heaven. Then I'd send you to earth. And I would tell you, if you want this, then you've got to go tell somebody about it. Because if you're not telling anybody about it, I'm not bringing you here. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be able to shut you up. I guarantee you'd be everywhere you go. You'd be like Pastor Manny Lopes. Everywhere he goes, he's talking about Jesus. Can't even shut him up. That's how I'd be. That's how you would be. You'd be going down the grocery store, the aisle, going, "Praise Jesus, man! You got to check heaven out. I've seen it. It's glorious." With some excitement, with some enthusiasm. Because you would truly know the stakes. The average Christian keeps Jesus to themselves. They have that military policy, don't ask, don't tell. You see, it's very easy to share Jesus in church, isn't it? Because you're with 99% of believers. And a couple that are searching because they want to believe. And they're looking for a reason to believe. It's easy to talk about Jesus here. You'll share scripture with me as if I don't know it. Well, Mark 7 says, yeah, does it really? Wow, never heard that before. Thank you. That's just me being mean. I'm sorry. Worse. You're not willing to offend anybody. Our culture change that we have gone through means we're non-offensive. We don't want to offend the Muslims. We don't want to offend the Antichrist. Jesus himself had to offend people because he knew the stakes. I watched an interview on Larry King. I've told some of you about it before. It was one of the most prominent preachers in America. In America, the one with the largest church in America. If you want to know who I'm talking about, go Google who has the largest church in America. And he's on the Larry King show. But I want you to know something. My daughter is involved in television. She's involved in reality shows. She's involved in different things. And I asked her, I said, do they just do this and see what happens? And my daughter looks at me like, no, Dad. We can't take a chance on that. We can't take a chance of it going the wrong way. It is rehearsed. It is scripted. There's no such thing as reality TV. Okay? So here's this prominent preacher of America. He's got tens and tens of thousands of people that flock to him every week, and he goes on the Larry King show, and Larry King is Jewish. Do we know that? Now, Larry King asked him this question. He said, is Jesus the only way through heaven to get to heaven? That wasn't a surprise question. I guarantee you, they rehearsed that question before he ever took that stage. Larry King already knew the answer to that question because he couldn't stir up controversy. And the answer to that question was probably a condition for him to be on that show. And his answer was very clear. Who am I to say? You see, that's the culture we live in. I'm not going to offend you. You brought me on my television. Larry King will never bring me on his television show. Mr. Larry, you're going to split hell wide open if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't give him your life with the opportunity that God has granted to you to reach millions and billions of people and you're not using it to the glory of God, hell's going to be extra hot for you, Larry. That's what I would say. What would you say? You see, what did this preacher do? He looked back. I'm not going forward. Let me just pull this thing back. And God says to him, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. There's a prominent singer that we sing her songs and you hear her on the radio all the time, and she was put on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Now, Ellen asked her the question. Ellen DeGeneres is a lesbian. She came out of the closet many, many years ago. So she asked this prominent Christian singer that we all love her music, and they said to her, is homosexuality a sin? Do you think that was a surprise question? Do you think Ellen brought her on the show to see what the answer was? No, it's about ratings, it's about money, it's about popularity. They rehearsed that question. That singer knew that question was coming. And you know what she did? Look back, and God says to her, your music's incredible and I've gifted you, but you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Because she looked back. She looked back and she said, well, I don't know. What do you think? We're morons? We know you know. We know you know. We're not. She looked back. Here's the problem with looking back. And this is why when you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You see, when you look back, you're helping people find hell. See, Ellen's life is at stake. Larry King's life is at stake. And they got the answer that'll send them straight to hell. No, I'm not ready. Who are you paving the way to hell for? Somebody said to me the other day, they said, hey, but isn't it their responsibility? Yeah, you can put all responsibility. Why don't you just take it off of you and put it on somebody else? Isn't that the American way? I don't want to be responsible for Marisol. It's her responsibility. As I lay the bricks down for her walkway to hell. Because I refuse to offend her because I love her. I refuse to offend her because I don't want to cause any controversy. I refuse to offend. Got the wrong pastor. I will call her up and offend her in a moment if she needs it. And she'll tell you so. Because she's needed it. I'm not paving your way to hell by letting you hold on to false theology. I'm not paving your way to hell by allowing you to continue on the walk that you're on, knowing where it's leading, because the stakes are your life. The stake is right there. Heaven or the shack, hell. How many of us have looked back? You see, when you come to tell me the gossip and I sit and listen to it, I'm looking back. When I laugh at your dirty joke, I'm looking back. When I slander my brother or sister without knowing the story, or even if I did know the story, I'm looking back. When I refuse to honor God with my resources, I'm looking back. When I refuse to act in love, I'm looking back. When I refuse to forgive, I'm looking back. This is not my friend. I still have 12 minutes. 1 John 2:18 through 25. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. We're surrounded by Antichrist. See, your definition of an Antichrist is that person who comes to destroy the world. That's not the only Antichrist. Jesus defined the Antichrist. So if you're going to take a walk with Jesus, you got to understand who the Antichrist is. And Jesus says, you're for me or you're against me. There's no middle of the road. Well, God, I'm deciding right now. I'm just going to sit out right here and check things out. I'm not against you. The world came up with this term called an agnostic, one who questions the belief of God. God doesn't use that word in his vocabulary. Agnostic does not exist. God says you're an atheist or you're a Christian. You're for me, you're against me. There is no middle of the road. You don't get to decide, I decide. I decide whether you're for me or you're against me. You can call yourself whatever you want to. It ain't going to make a difference to me. You're not for me, you're against me. Antichrists are everywhere. The churches are full of them. You might be sitting near one. Not here, no. You may have been one at one point in your life. Well, since I'm willing to offend you, you used to be the Antichrist. There was a time in your life you were the Antichrist. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. That'll preach. You see, if you belong to us, You always find your way back here. Several people in the audience today haven't been for a while, but they found their way back here today. Why? They belong. I'll just use Chris for an example. He was gone for a long time, but he found his way back. He's here. There are others. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Do you really think you can afford to deny Christ any longer? You see, are you afraid to offend your mother today? Are you afraid to offend your father, your children? We're not. I think most of Marjorie's family was saved because she didn't care if she offended them or not. She has a brother who's a Catholic. We offend him all the time. We don't care. We don't care that he's a Catholic either. We just care that he knows Jesus Christ. You can be anything you want to be. I don't really care. Do you know Jesus? You want to hang on to a title? Hang on to it. Not hurting my feelings any. Do you know Jesus? Because heaven and hell is at stake, and right now you're going to hell. I know the truth. God says I know the truth. Who is the liar? The prominent pastor who gets on Larry King and says he doesn't know if Jesus is the way to heaven? The prominent singer who goes on Ellen DeGeneres and says, I just don't know if homosexual is a sin. I have friends that are homosexuals and I love them. Guess what? I got friends that are homosexual and I love them. I have clients that are homosexual. I love them. I have no problems with them. Lord, help them if they ask me the question. Because I'm not going to be the liar. See, you can hide behind, I won't deny Jesus, but I'll falsify the truth in order to not hurt your feelings. And you're going to be in trouble. It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ, such person is the Antichrist. You're telling me that the most successful preacher in America is the Antichrist? Yep, I just said it. But I didn't say it. God said it. You do what you want with it. God just said the most prominent pastor in America is the Antichrist because he denied me in front of millions of people. And he helped pave their way to hell. Be offensive when you have to be. Don't run with it. But there comes a time where you've got to stand for the truth. There comes a time that you have to stand for Jesus. You see, when you deny Jesus, you deny God. Denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. God's not in you. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father as well. It's a package deal. It says 5a, there must be another one. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. What's at stake? Eternal life. Our walk with God requires us to be offensive with the truth. Why was Jesus offensive? To keep people from hell. Why are we required to be offensive? To keep people from hell. Prayer warriors, come up. I've got to close. I'm sorry, Pastor Donna, I didn't get to the nugget. But I plan to come back next week. And you will hear it. Today, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I know Jesus? You see, you can't take a walk with him until you meet him. You can't go anywhere with me until you meet me and befriend me. Otherwise, you're just a stalker. Y'all didn't know Jesus had stalkers, did you? Today's a great day to come up and meet Jesus. To give your heart, your life to him.
God, we look to you.
The stakes are heaven and hell. It's the mansion or the shack. It's real. It's real. Or maybe you're sitting there today and you say, you know what? You know, I get this Jesus thing and I've invited Jesus into my heart, but I just haven't taken this seriously enough. Jesus was offensive because he was taking it seriously. See, Jesus said, Jesus had an agenda. I want you to know the real Jesus. He had an agenda. You have agendas too. I have an agenda. His agenda was very simply, I want to glorify my Father. And everyone that I get glorifies my Father, and I'm going to glorify my Father, and that was his agenda. And maybe you're here today and you can say, you know, I just haven't taken this seriously. It's been kind of come what may. If it's convenient, I went to church. If it wasn't, I didn't go to church. If I had extra money, I gave it. If I didn't, I didn't give it. If I was away, I didn't even think about it. And when the boys wanted to go to the bar, I said, oh, what the heck, I'll go with them. I just won't drink because I don't want to offend my buds. But you refuse to show them there's anything wrong with what they're doing. And you're paving their way to hell. Maybe you can say, God, I need to get serious about my walk with you. I need to get serious about my Christianity. I've played for so long. Whatever time I have left, it's time to get real. And I won't be afraid to deal with people in love. And I will love them, God. But if I have to get offensive, I'll get offensive for you.